When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
You're listening to the Hockey Podcast Network, your home for hockey talk covering every team in the NHL. New episodes every Monday. Download at thehockeypodcastnetwork.com or wherever you get your podcasts from.
This is the Leaf Sky Podcast. Here's your host, Jim Taddy.
Hi, everybody. Thank you, Mike Ross, for that fine introduction, and welcome to Leaf Sky, episode 138. In the next half hour, David McCarthy and I will go over a stumbling Maple Leaf hockey team. They look so good, and then, well, not so good. Before we get going, we know hockey games move fast, but with DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NHL, you can score faster than anything happening on the ice. This week, new customers can bet $5, get $200 instantly in bonus bets. Here is the call to action. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app with the code THPN. New customers bet just $5 on the NHL, get $200 instantly in bonus bets only on DraftKings Sportsbook with the code THPN. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for complete details. So, on to the hockey story, and after a great trip to California, the Leafs come back, beat San Jose on home ice, and then stumble against the Islanders on the road, against Colorado at home, and Sunday night against Detroit at home. The theme is, in the losses, cannot hold on to a lead. Boy, they look good when they have the lead, and then all of a sudden, the switch goes off, and it's a struggle. It's not any one part of the team, it's the whole team. Dave McCarthy from SiriusXM NHL.com stopped by, and here is our conversation. Well, Dave, we've got this 10-game sample size, 4-4-2. The four wins are impressive. The four losses are not, and some of the overtime losses aren't either. I mean, they're on a 3-game skid now, and they can't salvage a lead. I just don't know what to make of this.
It is confounding, to be sure, because coming out of the Christmas break, the results weren't there. Against Columbus there on the Friday, I think it was the 29th, Samsonov's last start. You started to see some good trends at 5-on-5. As Sheldon Keefe mentioned, and I agree with him, that game was a mess because he couldn't get a stop. But at 5-on-5, they actually weren't that bad. And then up until San Jose scored the following Saturday late in that game, which was already out of reach, they didn't give up a 5-on-5 goal. All of that against Carolina on the Saturday the 30th at home, and then all throughout California up until the end of that San Jose game. So there were some good trends there defensively, for sure, structure wise, at even strength. I guess looking back now, the grain of salt you have to take with that is that they didn't exactly do it against world beating teams.
Yeah.
LA's a decent team, but they've been going through it themselves of late. I mean, what have they lost? 8 in a row. And then you play Anaheim. I thought they were really good in that game. Lucas Dostal went, legend. But they found a way to win. And then they beat San Jose relatively easily. And then they beat them again relatively easily at home. So you're like, okay, maybe they're cooking a little bit. But like I said, not exactly against competition that is all that impressive. And then since then, they haven't been able to hold leads, which is quite disconcerting. And now that they've squandered, five of 6 points that were right there for the taking, and then suddenly they've really let Detroit right back into the mix here.
Well, and the strange thing about that, the Detroit game is an interesting one because the Wings, although they played more games, are right in the Leafs neighborhood. And I would never equate those two teams as being close to being on the same page, but they are.
Well, I mean, who's that old NFL coach that, our record is what it says we are, whatever that quote is.
Yeah, we are who we think we are.
Or they are who we thought they were.
Yeah, you know, something that, like that.
Yeah, but that's fact of the matter. Like, you know, you can think you're a much better team, which they probably are, Toronto, than Detroit. But you sit here halfway through the year, and the record says the truth, which suggests that the Leafs haven't played up to their capabilities enough this season. You know, and that's really what it comes down to, right? We sit and we bemoan and we whine about the playoff form, and not you and I, but certainly people at the end of the year. And, oh, look, the Leafs have got to face, you know, Florida or Boston or a real good team in the first round. Well, do you know why that is? Is because you piss points away against teams like Buffalo and Columbus and Columbus again and Chicago. And you let leads get away when you're completely in control of the game. And then you tack on 10 or 12 points at the end of the year of points that you've literally thrown away. And that's the difference between finishing in second or third or winning the division and getting perhaps a more favorable matchup. So they really only have themselves to thank, quite honestly.
Yeah, I agree with that. And there's some things that keep coming back. So when they were playing well, obviously their big four forwards were doing a nice job. But now we're back to the rotating left side. And this is an ongoing problem. It seems to come out every maybe quarter of the season, every 20 games or so, that they run into this problem. And so Holmberg goes up and plays with Matthews and Marner. Nice, because of defensive lapses, drops down to the fourth line. But there's no, like, as good as we like Holmberg, and there's a lot of potential there, he's not the guy who's going to end up playing on that line. And I, having said that, I don't know who is. So, I mean, that's a pretty big void to have.
The left side is a continuing issue, I think, right now. You know, Pontus Holmberg, yeah, they like him, and I see why. There's some more potential there. Yeah. He's a guy that performed offensively fairly well in the American League, fairly well in Sweden. The way he plays when he doesn't have the puck, I see what you're saying there. But I don't know. I just still have a hard time getting past the look of Pontus Holmberg on the top line of a team that wins the Stanley Cup. I don't know. It just doesn't have the right feel to me right now. You know, and Nyes has looked good there at times. At other times, as you said, he's been mistake prone. Tyler Bertuzzi's been okay, I guess. You know, really since the first 10 games of the year, I haven't minded his game, but you know, he is what he is, and he's not going to drive offense. He's going to be a complementary part to offense. So, you know, when William Nylander isn't going and John Tavares isn't going, if Tyler Bertuzzi's on that line, not much is happening. And that's what happened the other night against Colorado, where that line ultimately got broken up. So that's an issue. And then, you know, you look on the third line, is it Holmberg? Is it Robertson? You know, whoever it is, Nick Robertson's been at best okay when he's been in the lineup. He's got an elite NHL shot. Beyond that, I don't really know what he brings you. Shift in, shift out at even strength, to be honest. So, yeah, it is an issue right now, the left side. And then when you look at the right side, you know, like I said, when Nylander goes through stretches where he's not playing well, which quite honestly hasn't played particularly well later this past week over the last three games, and Marner is, I think it's fair to say he's been up and down this season. There have been games where he's looked like his old self, and then I would say, I don't know, 50, 60% of the year he's been just okay for his standards. That's when you're going to run into issues like last night, where they really struggled to generate much at all. And when you allocate the money the way they have, and your top guys go in the tank for a period of time, the results don't look anywhere near as good as you'd like them to look.
Well, we've got a lot of that this year. I mean, I would describe the team that we're covering this year. Last night, Sunday night against Detroit, Marner scores at 18-18 of the second period, 2-1. In the third period, there's a pretty severe Detroit forecheck that the Leafs couldn't solve. It took until, what time is that goal? 18-20 was the eventual winning goal. So it took them that long to tie the game and then take the lead. And that was all because of a forecheck that the Leafs just could not sort out or get through. And that's a problem for me. Just because they had the lead, all they had to do was add to it, and they couldn't do it.
Yep, and then giving the lead up the way they did, it was not a play where they were hemmed in for, you know, minute and a half, and eventually they broke down. It was a pretty, you know, run of the mill standard puck retrieval type situation where they were in control. And like, if you want to be a real team, that's a puck that you have to be able to go back, retrieve, and move efficiently. You know, like 10 times out of 10, quite honestly, right? Like, because the one mistake that you make is what ends up making the difference in a hockey game, not only in January, but certainly at the most important time of the year in the playoffs. That's a puck that needs to be moved 10 times out of 10. And McCabe and Liljegren broke down there. So, you know, there have been a lot of occasions this year where guys that they depend on to play significant roles have just not been up to the task. And, you know, you see, you know, to use an example, you see in the Colorado game on Saturday, Devin Taves mishandles that Morgan Rielly flip in the neutral zone. He probably won't make that mistake again the rest of the year. But they burned him on that. But then what happened? It was Nathan MacKinnon. It was Mikko Rantanen. Absolutely outplaying the Leafs' top guys in the second and third period to fight their way back into that game. And that's been the story for Colorado this year. They've been banged up quite significantly. A lot of key guys out of the lineup. MacKinnon in the morning on Saturday was saying it's frustrating. He says he feels like we're always hurt every year. But yet they won the division last year, and they're right there fighting Winnipeg for the lead again in the division in the Central. And why is that? Because it's MacKinnon and it's Rantanen, not just most of the time, but like literally every night.
And so that's the missing piece for the Leafs. Who will step up when they need it? And I don't want to be too harsh here, but there seems to be a void that way too, isn't there?
Well, yeah. Yeah. The top guys haven't been good the later part of this week. They've really struggled to generate. And then when that happens, you run through periods where you go into the tank from a results standpoint, which is even more disappointing for the Leafs. You look in that Saturday game, it was the third line that really led the way offensively in the first period. The Max Domi line, he got a goal early in the first, got him up 1-0, and they were on the ice for that random scramble that Timothy Liljegren put away, and the Morgan Rielly goal, like I said, was just a total breakdown of Colorado's point. But you get depth scoring like that early in the game against a top team like Colorado, then you at least say, okay, well, our depth has given us a head start here. At least let's hope, even if they don't score, let's hope our top guys can saw off their top guys, and then we're still in good shape. But they couldn't. They couldn't. And then you end up having a result like they did against Colorado Saturday. So that is concerning, to be sure.
Well, there's a number of things that we've talked about and we'll continue to talk about here that do not describe a team that runs deep in the playoffs. They're not very good on home ice for reasons I don't understand. The goaltending situation could have been a flashpoint Sunday night with Samsonov, but I wouldn't blame him for much there. But at the same time, when they did cutaways of him, he didn't look very happy. Obviously he wanted to win that game, but at the same time, I'm not totally convinced that he's over whatever he was dealing with. He needs some sort of a positive experience to brighten his spirits, I guess is the best way to say that.
Yeah, I mean, I think the only thing that is positive that you could take out of the Detroit game on Sunday was the fact that Ilya Samsonov played in a way that I think you can make the argument that they can turn to him again and give him another look. It wasn't a complete cave-in like the Columbus game in his last start. There was something there for him to build on. I asked him after the game if he thought that was the case, that he could build on that game. And he said, look, I don't want to continually talk big picture here about, okay, He's like, I just want to focus save by save, because he said that's what got me into a tough spot. Yeah. Talking big picture and all that, build, can you build on it? Can you not build? Did I make the next save or did I not? And he said he was happy with how he played. He felt like he was seeing the puck well. I would agree with that.
Yeah.
I don't think really any of the goals you could hang on him specifically. Certainly the go-ahead goal, we already broke that down. You know, I think it was the Dylan Larkin goal. Maybe it was a little bit deep in his net for the one-timer and went glove side. Maybe it was a little deep in his net. You know, he went full Dominic Hasek on the breakaway attempt and missed. But my goodness, what did they give up? Like three breakaways at least last night?
Yeah.
Like you're not really helping the guy out, right? You're trying to build back up when you're giving up breakaways time. And again, they gave up a breakaway a minute and a half into the game yesterday. So that was concerning on a number of fronts, given how they played against Colorado, let that game get away. Sheldon Keefe put the lines in a blender, obviously, to get a bit of a message. And you got a goalie that is fragile. And they really did come out with a meh effort. They really did. But,
yeah,
you know, I think the only thing you could say is that you can turn to Samsonov again. But, yeah, I had Brian Hayes on my show on Sunday, Jim, and we were talking. We both agreed, like, okay, one game alone isn't going to say that he's cured. Even if he had a shutout, you can't say, oh, well, no problem there anymore. It's like the Alec Manoah situation from the Blue Jays in the summertime, where, you know, he's got to be able to string 8 or 10 starts in a row together, where you're like, okay, this is a run of good play now. One alone isn't going to do it. So you can turn to him again, I think. But if he caves in the next time, you know, like, I still think you're in the same position as to say, well, where do we go from here?
Oh, absolutely. And that's a precarious situation. And I think precarious is the way to sum up the Leafs' problems. When I look at that left side again, and I'm not going to be too critical of Knies. I mean, this is his first go run at playing 82 games. Now, he played in the prospect tournament and in training camp, so he's already had a busy run, so you would expect some drop-off there. You know, I'm not saying he can't go back to that top line, but I think you have to give him some leeway based on it's his first full season in the NHL, and maybe it works out, maybe it doesn't. But that left side is a problem. Robertson, you know, I'm not sold on him being a regular on the third line on the left side. And Holmberg has a spot. I just don't know where it is. But these are issues that shouldn't really be question marks for a team that's trying to go deep in the playoffs. There should be no question marks up front, but there are a significant number of them, and it's bothersome to me.
It is. And, you know, if you're Brad Treliving here, I mean, let's see how they finish up the month of January, because let's be honest, Jim, this is not going to be an easy schedule here. Play some real teams over the next fortnight with Edmonton, who's won 10 in a row. You know, Calgary will grind you. They've been up and down, but, you know, they're a team that's capable of winning. Vancouver's a real team. Seattle has been rolling of late, and they come back home for a home and home next week against the Winnipeg Jets, who, if I'm not mistaken, they're still in the lead for the President's Trophy, if not within a point or two. So, like, they've got a test in front of them here. If they don't get it together, you know, we'll revisit this conversation. It might be going in a different direction, but let's assume they get through this with their heads above water. You head toward the trade deadline, and you say, okay, well, I think you could logically say there's question marks up front, there's question marks on the blue line, and we broke down the net mining situation. There's a question mark there. You can't address all of it. You just can't, with the type of capital that they have remaining and the type of cap space that they have available. So, you know, I think they'll have more cap space than capital to put into a deal. But I don't see how you can address all three of those issues. So then it comes down to, what do you prioritize? And I'd ask you that question, Jim. To me, you know, if Samsonov shows that he can at least be an average goalie at best, and then Wall's around the corner and you've got Marty Jones, I think you have to take a long, hard gulp and hope that's going to be good enough. To me, I think if you had to pick, I'd prioritize trying to upgrade the blue line right now, because I think that is the biggest issue that they have. Find me a team that wins the Stanley Cup with a porous blue line. It just does not happen. That to me would be the priority. But you know, if Samsonov blows up and becomes a type of guy that cannot be an option, you know, then do you have to look at getting some insurance in net? It's going to be a tough one to tell, and I think the next 2 weeks will give us a better idea of what direction that's got to go in. But to me, I'd prioritize the blue line at this point.
Yeah, I'm with you on the blue line. The goaltending, I would wince. I would look away and wince, just because I don't know what you could pick up and what it would cost you. And I think history shows us that these type of moves really don't work out. So, you know, you hope that Wall gets back, and they're going to know more about that than we do. And with Jones and Samsonov, between one of the two, I mean, that's going to work out. But Wall's recovery is key. I agree with the blue line.
Well, just to add to that, first point you made, like, when was the last time you can recall a team going on a deep run and winning a cup with a goalie that they brought in mid-season?
Well, Patrick Waugh is the only one I could come up with. Am I missing somebody?
Well, okay, no, I don't think so. But to that, I'll say, you know, when was that?
That's a long time ago.
25 years ago.
Yeah, right? That was right after Christmas, or right before Christmas. But it was before the halfway point of the season. As far as trade deadline goalie acquisitions, I'd have to spend some time to research that, because I don't recall any of those working out.
No, and then that was Patrick Waugh. And Patrick Waugh more or less in his prime too. So there
pending Hall of Famer.
Yeah. Like, I mean, remember St. Louis went out, got Ryan Miller, that didn't work. You know, they brought in Marty Brodeur in St. Louis later in his career. That didn't work. It doesn't seem to be a course of action that works. And then on Joseph Wall, I just speak to him last week at practice. He did say he is happy with his progress. He said he's right where he wants to be at this point, but that he's got to be careful because the high ankle sprain is a tough one for a goalie. Oh,
yeah.
You really got to make sure that you're 100% back. So I wouldn't expect to see him until after the All-Star break, which is, you know, essentially another three weeks down the road.
I'd be with you on that. So we agree on the blue line. I really think that they need at least one, possibly two wingers that are big space creator wingers that play both ends of the rink. Now, that's an ultimate wish list, but when I look at these forwards, they just don't push back to me. And you need pushback. You need grit. You need size. You need puck skill. So I mean, that's a big ask at a deadline. So if you got me one, I'd be happy. But I think they really need two.
They need an Ivan Barbashev. They need a Blake Coleman. They need a Barkley Gaudreau. You know, guys of that nature, that always seem to make big impacts on teams that go deep. I agree. That's absolutely a priority. But if you can only get one, to me, the blue line's where you got to focus. I think that becomes the luxury if you can tag on a forward like that. You know, in terms of pushback, they went out and they brought in Tyler Bertuzzi in the offseason. He's been okay, but I'm not blown away, right, with the impact that he's had. Is that fair to say, or you?
Well, look, I'm going to be blunt about this. I think he's a great third-line left winger. How about you?
Yeah, probably, right? Like, maybe playing a little bit high in the lineup, like, okay where he is, but maybe a little bit high in a perfect world. You know, Max Domi's been okay as the third line center. He's been better at center than he was on the wing at the beginning of the year, I'll put it that way. And then Ryan Reeves has not really materialized as a guy that makes any impact at all, largely because he's been hurt, but even when he was in the lineup, not really making an impact. So yeah, I still think they have work to do on that front that they tried to address in the off season. I would say the returns are, you know, at the very, very best, okay, and that might even be putting it too positively.
That's a little soft, but here's what I'm going to say. I think you'll agree with this. When you go over Brad Tree Living's off-season acquisitions, the A group has been substandard. The B group, the depth guys have been good.
Yes. Yes. Simon Benoit has been excellent. William Lagesson has been excellent. That is an area that they do not need to address, is a depth D-man at all at the trade deadline. They've got those guys, and I think they deserve a lot of credit for how well they've played to keep the Leafs in the position that they're currently in, despite all the injuries they've had on the back end. Yeah. You know, I think if you can bring in a defenseman who's better than somebody you have in the lineup right now, you address the bottom of your blue line, if you will, by just simply pushing someone down the lineup a little bit. Now, you know, will somebody have to be included in a deal to bring someone in, move money up potentially? But, like, you know, the way I look at it is, if you can bring in a top four guy, like a number two or a number three type guy, maybe somebody that can play with Morgan Rielly.
Yeah.
And then TJ Brody does not need to be included in a deal. Well, then you can move him down the lineup. You know, maybe you put him on your second pair, you put him on your third pair, and then you've improved that way as well. That's how I kind of look at it. I think to go out and to get a 4, 5, 6 guy, I would suggest then don't even bother.
Right.
Because that's just adding another guy to a group of 4, 5, 6 guys that you already have. You need somebody who is demonstrably better than a 4, 5, 6 guy.
Yeah. Depth is not a problem. Quality is. Dave, thanks for your time. Appreciate it.
Always good, Jim. Thanks, man.
Last minute of play in this podcast.
All right. Thank you, Mike Ross, for that time warning. Time now for Lickety Split. Yes, guy, no guy in the way out. Yes, guy, no guy, number one. Changes have to follow. Oh, yes, guy. This is not the group to go deep in the playoffs. With all due respect to everybody, they have to add to this. Yes, guy, no guy, number two. The left side in the forward unit is a going concern. Well, obviously, Matthew Nyes was dropped down to the fourth line on Sunday night against Detroit because of defensive liability, and that has to change. And when you look at that left side, Holmberg, Bertuzzi, Robertson, and Nyes, there's an obvious gap there. They need somebody who's defensively responsible with puck skill and can create space. I know that's a wish list, but that's what they need. And yes, guy, no guy, number three, the team lacks defensive grit. Well, I'm not talking about the blue line, and I'm going to say yes, guy. All over the ice, they lack defensive grit. That has to change. Thanks for stopping by. Hope you enjoyed Leafs Guy episode 138. Hope you come back next week for episode 139.